Good morning, church. All right, this morning we'll be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all."
Good morning. So you've probably heard this joke before, but it's funny. And amazingly, it fits. So I'm going to tell it again. How about that? Yeah, we're a little ahead here. So anyway, I was walking across a bridge one day, and I saw a man standing on the edge of the bridge about to jump. And I said, "Stop, don't do it." "Why shouldn't I?" he asked. "Well, there's so much to live for." "Like what?" "Are you religious?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Me too. Are you Christian or Buddhist?"
"Christian."
"Me too. Are you Catholic or Protestant?"
"Protestant."
"Me too. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist?"
"Baptist."
"Wow, me too. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord?"
"Baptist Church of God."
"Me too. Are you Original Baptist Church of God or Reformed Baptist Church of God?"
"Reformed Baptist Church of God."
"Me too. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1879, or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915?
"Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915.
I said, "Die, heretic scum," and I pushed him off the bridge. So sometimes we get to focusing on the little matters about which we are different, and we lose sight of the big matters that bring us together. And that's what I want us to talk about today. For the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about God's plan. God has a plan to bring all of humanity together as one. And that's not a side note. That's right at the heart of the plan. He wants to, reconcile us to Him in one body, to bring everybody together in Christ. And therefore, it's really important that we get along with each other. Unity is not merely a matter of not fussing and fighting all the time. Unity includes a positive spirit of oneness, oneness in heart, oneness in mind, to where we go into the world together with one voice representing God. And that's what we're striving for. Now, this passage that Daryl read gives three keys to that kind of unity. And I want to review one, point out one, and then park on one, okay? The one I want to review is that one of the keys to unity is our attitude. We think sometimes the key to unity is to get everybody to agree on whether it ought to be Reformation 1879 or Reformation 1915. That's not really the key. Our attitude and our humility have a lot more to do with it. And so in verse 2 he said, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with each other in love." That's what I was trying to talk about last week. The cross causes us to have humility in our relationships with each other. Something we haven't mentioned yet is verse 3. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." I've noticed when I'm kind of disputing with someone, I make every effort to get my way. I make every effort to get my point across. But whether I make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit, that might be a different question. We forget sometimes that in our great zeal to be right, that unity is also right. And so we need to make an equal effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit that we do to communicate whatever our point is. And then the third thing that he mentions in this passage is these seven unifying realities, seven things that bring us together as one. And that's what I really want to talk about today. But before I get there, I want to remind you that all these things are based on what God has done for us. In chapter 4 and verse 1, when he says, I urge you as a prisoner of the Lord, then, or therefore, that means based on all I've been saying, based on all the ways God has blessed us, chapter 1, based on his grace, chapter 2, and bringing Jew and Gentile together, chapter 2, based on his magnificent plan, chapter 3, and his great love, chapter 3, based on all that, choose to have the attitude of humility and make every effort to preserve the unity, and then focus on these seven unifying realities. I'm going to give you a second, if you're judgmental, to count the rectangles and see if there's seven. How many see seven? Eight. Oh my goodness, there's eight. Okay, I thought I'd better explain this because some of you may have trouble sleeping if I don't. In the top right, there's Father. In the bottom left, there's God. And that's exactly what the passage says. One God and Father of us all. We're counting that as one. So there are seven unifying realities. And it may look like baptism and Father are more important than the others. Actually, it's just that those words are longer than the others. So they got a bigger box. But all of these things are extremely important. Some things in Christianity are more important than others. Last week, we noticed that in 1 Corinthians, he said, everybody needs to say, I am of Christ. That is extremely important. Elsewhere, we read that the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus, is of first importance. Another place we read that there are two greatest commands, love God and love your neighbor. Some things are more important than whether you were Reformation 1879 or 1915. And these are some more of those important things. I don't think that this is all that matters. There's some other things that we need to talk about. But in a context where he's trying to bring unity, he's saying essentially, focus on the big realities that we all share in common, which makes me think we ought to focus on the big realities that we all share in common. And maybe by doing so, that will help bring us together as one. Now, I know that even on these seven big realities, there can be a lot of differences. So this is not a perfect thing that's going to solve all of our problems. But maybe if we combine it with the humility and making every effort and focusing on these big things, it's a way that we can come together as one people. Now, if you have a note sheet, again this week, the seven blanks are going to be pretty obvious. So you can go on and fill those out, but you got to get them in the right order. And I'm going to do them in the right order, the order of the text here. And what I give you on the note sheet really is mainly what Ephesians says about each of these seven things. Or if Ephesians doesn't say a whole lot about it, maybe I'll give you some other things from some other places. And you may want to take that home and read through it, because there's a lot more to each one of these than we sometimes realize. But what I'm going to do verbally this morning is read one scripture about each of these that helps us see how they can bring us together as one. And I hope maybe that will be helpful to us. So it begins with one body. That's the first blank if you're filling in blanks. The Bible says a few times that the church is like a human body. All these different body parts, but one body. And listen to what Ephesians 4 has to say about the body or the church. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we're a body, and here, instead of being body parts, we're ligaments and sinews, and we're all connected, and we're all helping hold this thing together. But the body's not supposed to stagnate. The body's supposed to grow. It's supposed to become increasingly mature like Jesus. We're supposed to be like our leader. And one of the things that we're supposed to do to help us with that, according to verse 15, is to speak the truth to each other in love. And I've made up this new quote. You're going to want to write this down. This rings. This is good. I think we're supposed to speak the truth to each other, but we don't do it because you can't handle the truth. Doesn't that ring? That's got a little ring to it. But it's kind of really true that sometimes we don't speak the truth to each other because we feel like people can't handle the truth. And sometimes we think that because they've handled the truth so badly in the past. They don't always give us a great big old hug and say, "Well, thanks for pointing out that flaw you saw in my life." But that's a part of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to speak the truth, but in love, as a way of growing to become the mature body of Christ. Notice in 16, the growth really comes from Jesus, but it comes as each part does its work. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, I think. Church is not about observing. Church is not just something you go to once a week unless you got something better to do. Church is something you're supposed to get plugged into. You've got a role to play. You've got a part to fill. You have a gift from God, and you're supposed to use it to help the body grow and mature. We're all connected in this, and therefore we need to be unified. There's one Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Trick question. Who baptized Natalie this morning? The Holy Spirit. Who baptized you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the real baptizer. Larry is an assistant, or whoever helped you, their assistants. And when a person like Natalie and like most of us get baptized, they're baptized not only into Christ, as a lot of other verses say, but they're also baptized into the body. NIV here says, so as to form one body. But we're baptized so as to become a part of this body of God's people. We become a body part. We become a liver. We become a ligament or a sinew or whatever. And we become a part of the body. And we were all given the Spirit to drink, the one Spirit. We all received the Spirit when we were baptized into Christ as well. The same Spirit. The same Spirit that this verse says gives us the unity. Preserve the unity of the Spirit. We all share in that Spirit, and it makes us one body of believers. Now, there are different body parts, and the Spirit has given different gifts and different ministries to different ones of us. But 1 Corinthians 12 emphasizes that all those gifts and ministries come from the one and the same Spirit. Just like sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, sometimes we think more highly of our gifts and our ministries than we ought to think. But the Spirit has given all the gifts and all the ministries. And so we are all one. We all share the same Spirit. And no matter what our gift or our ministry is, it all comes from Him. And so we ought to be unified. There is one hope. Several different aspects of it. The hope that Christ will come back. The hope that He will raise us from the dead. The hope that we will go to heaven to be with God. And the hope that we will have eternal life. All of those things are our hope. And hope in the New Testament is way stronger than hope as an Arkansas Razorback fan. I'm struggling a lot with my team lately. There's not much hope for them. But there's a lot of hope in Christ because of what God has already done. And the scripture I pick tells the basis for the hope and then talks about the hope. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. On the last day, God's going to read His will, so to speak. And if you showed up for the reading of the will and you think you're the only one getting an inheritance, you are badly mistaken. This is so, verse 7, that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The inheritance is for all of us. It's something we all share, and that brings us together. By the way, you might notice that this passage mentions four or five of the other ones. And that's because these seven ones are really important. They're emphasized over and over in the scriptures. There's one Lord. In the Old Testament, Lord usually means God, the Father. In the New Testament, Lord usually means Jesus, God, the Son. There's so many different passages we could have read about the Lord, but here's the one I chose. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The Lord has a people, and it's us. We're the people of the Lord. We're not the people of Marvin. We're not the people of you. We're not the people of the elders. We're the people of the Lord. And because of that, we belong to each other because we all belong to Him. Romans tells us, who are you to judge the servant of someone else? The people sitting here are not your servants. Yeah, we serve each other and we help each other, but we belong to Christ. We are servants of Christ. And so we recognize that and we treat each other differently, including praying for all the Lord's people. We care about all the Lord's people because He has brought us together as one. One faith. Again, a lot of things we could say, but Ephesians 4 says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Notice again that the body is supposed to be built up, and one of the markers for that in verse 13 is built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And literally it's unity of the faith. It's a unity that grows out of our faith. And it's unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Which is to say that the better we really know Jesus, and the more faith we genuinely have in Him, the more unity we will have. And you may have noticed that. You may have noticed, this almost sounds rude, but mature Christians get along better than immature Christians. Now, I feel a little funny saying that, but it's kind of right here in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, you're not ready for solid food because of all of the fussing and fighting that's going on. You're immature. It's a mark of immaturity. But as we mature in faith and in knowledge, that contributes to our unity. And I think one of the reasons why is that as we mature in faith, we put more in His hands instead of feeling like we've got to fix it all. I'm a fix-it guy. I can't fix hardly anything as a handyman, but I like to fix problems. And sometimes I step out of bounds trying to fix problems. We need to trust more. Yeah, there's things we're supposed to do, but we need to trust the head of the church that He can take care of the church. Do what He calls us to do, but don't feel like it's all up to us to control and fix everything. And as we have more faith in Him, that will bring more unity among us. One baptism. The one baptism in the New Testament is baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus, or the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing, different, you know, worded some different ways. But the passage I picked is Galatians 3. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Very often in our world, our religious world, we see people pit faith and baptism against each other as if they were contradictory things. They're not contradictory. And this is one of the ways I know it, because in verse 26, he talks about people putting their faith in Christ and becoming children of God. And then verse 27, the word for tells us, I'm going to explain that a little more. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. He assumes that those who had put their faith in Christ were also baptized into Christ. And those who put their faith in Christ and are baptized into Christ are all children of God. And they have all clothed themselves with Christ. So when I look at you, I'm looking at someone who is a son or daughter of God. And I'm looking at someone who is clothed with Christ. And I ought to be a little more hesitant to pick a fight with somebody that is wearing Christ just like I am. And then
There is one God and Father of us all, who, according to Ephesians 4:6, is over all, above all, and through all. Over all, above all, and through all. He's the God and Father of us all. And that brings us together too. In Romans 15, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives endurance. God gives encouragement. And God fixes attitudes. That's what that first verse says. May he give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ had. So I'm supposed to have the same attitude toward you that Christ had, which means I'm supposed to forgive you and accept you and love you and be patient with you and serve you and teach you if I can and help you become more like Jesus, but with a lot of empathy and a lot of mercy and a lot of love. And if we remember that, maybe we will treat each other better. And if we treat each other better, you know what else will happen? Then we, with one mind and one voice, will glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus and the God and Father of us all. You know what really matters in worship? What really matters is not that we sing the kind of songs you like. What really matters is not that we do the Lord's Supper the way you think it ought to be done. What really matters is not that the preaching be this, that, or the other. What really matters is that with one heart and one mind and one voice, we glorify God. I got to thinking about, what if we had a reception for a king, and we're going to bring the king in and we're going to honor him with this reception. We put somebody in charge of the reception. Everybody pitches in and helps. They get the thing ready. But the person in charge says, this year, instead of saying, long live the king, we're going to say, live long and prosper. And somebody goes, oh man, that sounds too much like Star Trek. We shouldn't say that. And we start fussing and fighting about how we're going to honor the king. And while we're sitting there fussing and fighting about it, the king comes in and nobody honors him. Do you think he's going to be impressed that you called it to our attention that that sounds like Star Trek? Or do you think maybe he wants us all to get on board with whatever we're going to say and glorify him with one mind and one voice? If we do, if we remember that God is God, that will help bring us together. So there are the seven things. And again, I know that doesn't solve all of our problems. And I know sometimes we need to talk about other things. And I know there's one verse that tells us some of these debatable matters just keep between yourself and God. And focus on the big stuff. And there's a balance on all of that. But one thing I know for sure is that these things really matter. And that to a church that apparently was struggling some with unity, Paul thought focusing on these things would help bring them together. So I want to encourage us to do that. Focus on them. Experience them. Talk about them. Learn about them. And share them so that we can be one. If you want to talk about that or anything else, or if you need prayers, we'll have some of our shepherds and their wives at the back, and you can go and speak with them right now. Let's stand and sing.